And now we're going to look at some letters and emails that have been received by the Eastern Evening News. Following the report on blind voting, David Shield of Lingwood wrote to the Evening News with another suggestion for blind voters. He said, "I see that Rachel Andrews has won a High Court battle to get better provision for blind voters at polling stations, but I don't see any indication as to what form the improvements might take. May I offer a possible solution? Replace the plastic tactile voting device, the TVD, with a TVD board that is a braille copy of the voting paper and including cutouts corresponding to the various places on the ballot paper where voters are able to put a mark next to the candidates' names. If the dimensions of the voting paper are too small to accommodate a braille copy, then enlarge the braille TVD board and include pointers to the cutouts. Mind you, on the other hand, I don't think I would get overly excited if a voting station volunteer knew who I'd voted for."
The opposition to the NDR continues, and A.M. Cauldron of Thorpe End wrote in to complain about the future impact of the road's noise on animals. "I see once again people continue to assume that wildlife will relocate once the road is built. This is simply not the case. The reason is that dual carriageway roads create a pollution barrier, not just physical distance-wise, but in terms of noise, light, air pollution and fast-moving traffic. The environment is rendered sterile and separated for years. The ecology of the Wensum Valley will be shattered asunder by this road proposal, and it will fragment the life systems that follow the river. If an animal has built a population, that is because the support supplies are adequate to good from fungi, vegetation, insects and small to larger creatures. Animals range over areas and balance the supplies. Once one truncates that range, the supplies no longer support the population. If one hunts or feeds with ears, noise is a barrier. If one hunts or feeds nocturnally with eyes, loss of dark skies is a barrier. If one hunts or feeds by smell, pollution is a barrier. If it hunts or feeds by range, the road is a death trap. Together with the A47 upgrades, our rural environment and adjoining ecosystems, the Tud and Cantley Stream, will all be separated by toxic, polluting barrier roads, initially saving drivers minutes, but costing the earth environment years at best and death at worst. So what did you do in the dying days as the sun cooked the earth in a carbon haze?"
There were numerous objections to the removal of some services from GP practices. And here are some of the emailed comments. Somebody calling themselves Samsung said, "This is ludicrous. So many people suffer from this and it's simple to treat. Perhaps Norfolk and Waveney would find things easier if they stopped all treatment." Somebody calling themselves Just Saying said, "This sounds much more like cuts than streamlining. Or to put it another way, levelling down. Of course, all these services are available on demand for private patients, just like dentistry." Somebody called Juggling with Eggs said, "I hope Here for Norfolk will still be providing this much-needed service for those who are hard of hearing and have tinnitus or vertigo." Somebody called Juggling with Eggs said, "So people who need their ears stringed have to go to hospital now? Is that what they're saying? Seems a bit overkill for something quite simple." David Cooper responded by saying, "Just like those who can't see without specs have to pay, unless on a very low income, same with teeth, where we're all hoping to be lucky enough to get treated if we need it. The principle has been established for a long time under successive governments. Now we reap what happens when an irresponsible trust decides to run it." Guy Tharog said, "Privatisation of the NHS on the way. There is even an emergency ambulance company advertising vacancy. Yes, it may be a private company attending you when you have a heart attack." And finally, G. Cook says, "It is high time we stop treating the NHS like some sort of sacred cow. It is the most inefficiently run part of the public sector. Give it a pound and it will always spend more."
The Evening News letters page has seen a series of letters about the music on Radio Norfolk. Doug Fulcher of Thorpe St Andrew added to these. He says, there have been several letters regarding Radio Norfolk and the music that is heard on that channel. Why stick with Radio Norfolk when there are so many radio stations in the world that can be easily heard on the internet? I've not listened to Radio Norfolk since the days of Paul Barnes and his music of the swing era and after, running into the 50s and 60s. Anything after that I regard as rubbish, but not everyone shares my opinion. Each to his or her own, as they say, and good luck to them. My favourite radio station used to be KCEA from America, but that is not now available since COVID took over, so I've found a UK station that suits me admirably. The UK 1940s radio station, which, as the title suggests, plays music from the 30s, 40s and 50s. For a good selection of all types of music, readers should try tuning in to TuneIn Radio, where they will find a selection of radio stations that play music to suit all tastes. Of course, on YouTube, one can not only hear music from bygone days, but very often can see the bands and artists as well. Wonderful. On quite a different subject, Dawn Leader in Pottergate wrote to express her sympathy with Thomas Brown. Poor old Thomas Brown. His house is now a fast food outlet. His beautiful meadow near the cathedral where he once cultivated medicinal herbs is a car park. His skull was removed from his coffin in St. Peter Mancroft and given to the museum of the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital. It was only finally returned to him 80 years later. And now there are plans afoot to move his statue and take away his brain for a second time. He may even have foreseen his fate, he said, to be gnawed out of our graves, to have our skulls made drinking bowls and our bones turned into pipes to delight and sport our enemies are tragical abominations. Brown is the first recorded user of hundreds of terms, many of which we still use today, including analogous, computer, electricity, literary and medical. More darkly, he also coined the words insecurity, precarious, inconsistent, disruption, ultimate, and suicide. Born 4 centuries ago, he may yet surprise us with his prescience. And now Mike will introduce the next group of news stories.
There's been a lot of support for Ukraine and opposition to Russia in Norfolk this week. Norwich City is planning to award the Freedom of the City to 2 embattled areas in Ukraine. City charity shops are inundated with items for Ukraine. An entrepreneur driving lorries into Ukraine urged the people of Norwich to keep up their support. And a Norfolk-based rural agency is donating £50,000 to help Ukrainian refugees fleeing into Poland. On the other hand, one of Britain's largest potato farmers has closed a Russian honorary consulate in Norwich.
The City Hall is planning to award the Freedom of the City to 2 embattled areas in a message of unity to the people of Ukraine. A special meeting will be held on Tuesday the 15th of March with Lviv and Odessa, 2 Ukrainian cities, set to receive the honorary Freedom of the City. The plan follows the Russian invasion of Ukraine on February the 24th, which has seen more than 1.7 million people flee the country in search of safety. The Freedom of the City is normally given to people and organisations in recognition of their contributions to Norwich, with previous recipients including sports stars, playwrights and artists. There's been an outpouring of support for the people of Ukraine in Norwich with a protest and vigil held late last month. Companies, including Aviva, have announced that they will sell off their Russian investments. Ukrainian officials accused Russia of bombarding cities, including Mariupol, Kharkiv and other key cities, preventing evacuations. Alongside the people of Lviv and Odessa, Norwich City Council is also planning to award the Freedom of the City to the very Reverend Dr. Jane Hedges. Dr. Hedges has been Dean of Norwich Cathedral since 2014, the first woman to hold the role.
Hundreds of donations are still pouring in from city people trying to do their bit for the people of Ukraine. Charities and businesses are throwing open their doors for donations, and the public are arriving with their arms full. One such business is Vintage Emporiums in Castle Street, which is linked up with the Kent-based Refugees to get goods to the Ukrainian border. Founder of Refugees, Valentina Osborne, said, "When we heard about the situation in Ukraine, we had to do something. Our existing setup with the Vintage Emporium made it the perfect base. We're working with the store manager, Rebecca Ledger, who is passing the goods to us before we send them on to Ukraine via Hungary and Poland, where people have already been arriving in their thousands. So far, hundreds of thousands of women and children have already crossed the border, but this is just the beginning. Many more thousands, even millions, will become refugees as the situation continues. Many of the donations are hygiene products." Likewise, Rob Howard, owner of the TV and wireless in Miller's Lane, has opened his shop up and has received many such donations. He said, "I've got a 5-year-old daughter myself, and it really puts things in perspective. We wanted to open up the front of the shop for smaller items to be donated, such as medical supplies and toiletries. I've spoken to a few friends and family who have already donated 2 or 3 bags. It's amazing how quickly people can come together."
An entrepreneur driving lorry loads of essential items into Ukraine has urged the people of Norwich not to let their support wane. UK-born Dan Zenchuk, who was born in Peterborough to Ukrainian parents, began using his logistics business to get goods into Ukraine before the Russian invasion. Since then, Mr. Zenchuk, who formerly lived and worked in Norwich, has seen his operation, named Support Ukraine UK, grow into a national effort. The people of Norfolk have now joined that fight, with the first load of items picked up by Support Ukraine UK volunteers this week. The items, which will be picked up by one of Mr. Zenchuk's 12 volunteers, are currently being collated at Charity Norwich Homeless Support's base in Bessemer Road. The 37-year-old said, "We've got out the first collection from Norfolk on Thursday. We'll have a long wheelbase truck going out around Norfolk to collect all the donations and then take them to our base in Peterborough. Then we'll take them into Europe and on into Ukraine itself. The items are taken over the border before being collected in Lviv. From there, they are further transported to Kyiv and the southern and eastern borders." The founder added, "We've gone from covering just East Anglia to working with so many councils and companies up and down the country. We started just before the war began with the charity Support Ukraine UK, as we saw things were beginning to escalate. Now everything has just snowballed for us. We're taking in 2,000 to 3,000 donations a day." Mr. Zenchuk began his career in logistics and helped open and run the Amazon site on Sweetbriar Road.
A Norfolk-based rural agency is donating £50,000 to help hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians fleeing to Poland following the Russian invasion. Brown & Co., which has offices across East Anglia, has also run an office in Poland since 1998 and has worked with several large farming businesses in the Ukraine. The firm says it has received calls from Ukrainian friends and colleagues who are fearful for their safety on their staff and their families as Russian troops advance. As well as the donation to help refugees, the company is also pledging to help find jobs and accommodation for up to 100 Ukrainian nationals who want to live and work in this country, if permitted to do so by the British government. Charles Whittaker, managing partner of the firm's Norwich office, said, "We as a partnership have been deeply concerned about the unfolding horror on our doorstep in the Ukraine. We have Ukrainian friends and colleagues who live and work there. This past week we have had calls from some of them on the ground, and they are all very concerned indeed for the safety of their staff and families. We feel we should be doing something significant to help, and we watch the disaster unfold. The donation will go to the Polish Humanitarian Action Fund, specifically to help the Ukrainian refugees arriving in Poland." Mr. Whittaker said, "More than 150,000 Ukrainians had already crossed into Poland over the weekend, and the number is rising fast. We feel we should be doing our bit and shouting about it to encourage others to do it too."
One of Britain's biggest potato farmers has closed a Russian honorary consulate in Norwich as war rages following the invasion of Ukraine. Potato King Ronnie Bartlett, who runs fruit and veg firm Albert Bartlett, has also stood down as Russian honorary consul with responsibility for Norfolk, a position he had held since January 2020. The honorary consulate, based in Cavill House, an anonymous-looking office block on St Crispin's Road, is still included on the UK-Russian Embassy website. Its functions are listed as including the registration of Russian nationals living in Norfolk and protection of their rights and interests. One of his main roles as the honorary consul is stated as developing and strengthening economic relations between Russia and Great Britain. The Russian office was also included on a list of official honorary consulates in the UK, published by the Foreign Office this week. It gave the Norwich Russian Honorary Consulate contact details as the Albert Bartlett factory at Worstead near North Walsham. Mr. Bartlett has now resigned as Honorary Consul and the Norwich office was closed this week. Tim Hammond, the company's International Development Director, said, "The present situation in Ukraine is terrible. We cannot endorse any sort of action by any country, whether it is Russia or anyone else. It's a very bad situation." In 2019, Mr. Bartlett was pictured attending an economic conference in St. Petersburg, including a panel discussion chaired by Vladimir Putin. Mr. Hammond said the Norfolk Honorary Consulate had been established as a way to explore agricultural links between Russia and the UK. "We don't trade with Russia and haven't traded anything since the sanctions took place back in 2014, but we've always thought that there are opportunities for agriculture and British products in Russia," he said. "It was just really the future potential that we saw at that time in Russia. Obviously, that potential is quite rightly not there at all now."